Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome back to another episode of Motown and Coney. Back with my main man, Tommy.
What up, though?
So, it's been a crazy week, not only in sports, with the NCAA tournament going on. We're a month away, believe it or not, to the NFL draft. Big Sean released a single, which I really, really like. Joyner Lucas released an album, Future and Metro Boom, which I think is the album everybody's talking about, released. Mm-hmm. And on that album, you got Kendrick Lamar basically saying, F the big three, you're the only one. So we got a lot to get into. Oh, and Michigan basketball hired a basketball coach. So. And you got Jalen Rose kind of throwing shots at Michigan, so.
Oh, man, it's so much. Okay, let's start. We can start off with what everybody's talking about, then we'll dive into Michigan. So let's start it off with the Kendrick Lamar versus Drake, J. Cole, and Future versus Drake and J. Cole also.
Yeah, and I guess Big Sean got over. Damn it, Big Sean, you released a good single and still got overshadowed.
That's what I was gonna say, Rodney. Oh my god, bruh. Big Sean came. Look, even though he's not even involved in this, somehow, some way, he still got brought into it. Like, he can't even get away from it. Like, as soon as he dropped a single that was pretty decent, he had a couple singles back to back, make you think the album's pretty good. He had a song with Bryson Tiller. Now it's like, nope. Nope, nobody wants to hear it no more. All we want to do is hear Future song with Kendrick Lamar and Metro Boomin.
Yeah, so I guess first, what did you think of the album?
I thought the album was pretty dope. I mean, it's Future. I mean, it's pretty dope. Metro Boomin always does a great job, too. He's worked with Big Sean, and everybody that he's worked with, he's done a good job. 21 Savage. So, yeah. I mean, I thought it was pretty dope. What you think?
I like for a Future album. Let me preference it with that. I think it's a pretty good album. Probably top five Future album overall. Yeah, for Future, it does what it's supposed to do. I'll put it like that.
Right. That's what I said. He always comes out the blue and it like kind of buys you some time. To, you know, the next Future album. So I think that he did a good job with this one. Kendrick Lamar. What did you think about what Kendrick Lamar had to say?
It's not control, like, level this. I don't know if he got sour grapes that J. Cole and Drake are on tour together. This isn't the first, like I said, you got control. He kind of threw shots at the... what was that? The Dr. Dre Compton album some years ago at Drake. So this isn't the first time. I think Drake already said he's not going to respond. Haven't heard too much from J. Cole camp, although it had been rumored before this that J. Cole and Kendrick have been in the studio together. So at this point, I just think it's a friendly banter. He's trying to up the game, so.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking too, but he did send some crazy direct shots like at J. Cole. And then I listened to the song a couple times and I'm like, okay, at first I didn't get it, but I'm like, man, this shit is pretty dope. And like, if you really dig deep and like listen to the subliminals on it, I'm like, okay, this is pretty dope. This is what I've been waiting on. And I'm waiting on Drake and J. Cole to respond. Hopefully on separate songs, too. If they do a song together, that'll be whack. So hopefully they do it on separate songs. Or maybe they don't have to respond. Do you think they should respond?
I think they should. Will they? It's a question. For some reason, I feel like we might get a J. Cole response more than we'll get a Drake response. Only because... J. Cole is in album mode, so we'll probably get some type of response from J. Cole. I'm not sure. I know they on tour together, but I don't I don't know. I don't think we'll get something from Drake right away. I think J. Cole is the wild card here.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking too, man. Like, J. Cole, he really don't... I mean, he been talking this shit, but... I don't know if he was ready for Kendrick, though. I can see him talking this shit with some of the other rappers. Like, Kendrick, a whole nother monster, man.
Yeah, this would be interesting. Like you said, J. Cole hasn't been in beefs or whatever with other rappers, but this, nobody on the level of a Kendrick. So it'll be interesting to see what he does, where he goes, because I do know, like I said, it's been rumors for quite a while that him and Kendrick have been in the studio together. So it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens going forward.
I know, and hopefully they can put this behind. I know it's hip hop, and you know they talking their shit. But I'm hearing about people, you know, not even following Drake anymore. Rick Ross, and it was another rapper that decided not to follow him anymore. I know Future had some choice words. They said Future was upset because that Drake did an album with 21 Savage. I mean, this is exciting for hip hop because we love listening to, you know, lyrical combat. But to think about not having a song with Future and Drake anymore, I thought they did a good collab album, and they were good on the features on each other's albums. So that's just kind of shocking to me.
Yeah, it's shocking. I know XXL speculating it could be over girls for the whole Drake and Future beef too, but I don't know. Hopefully there's just, you know, I don't, hell, we lived through the whole Tupac and Biggie thing. Hopefully it just stay on wax like Jay-Z and Nas did, so.
Yeah, and that's, I think it will. I mean, cooler heads will prevail. Both camps are pretty cool. I think Drake is like a level-headed person too. I don't think it'll get to the whole Meek Mill type of deal. I think people learn from those mistakes, and I think it'll just stay on wax.
Let's keep it hip-hop. Let's keep it on wax. You know, we don't need no more East Coast versus West Coast or... Hell, this international beef, right? Drake from Canada, so.
Right, that's what I was like. Yeah, like, what can really come out of that? I don't think that both of those guys are going to do anything. Kendrick's a family guy, too. His last album was... Everybody seems to forget that he came out with an album, which is kind of crazy to me. Because everybody like, yeah, Kendrick Lamar ain't dropped nothing in a long time. I'm like, damn, he just had, like, a last album. But I guess it was kind of forgettable. He had a couple of good songs on there, but it wasn't like Kendrick Lamar material.
It's about to be one hot summer. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking too. I'm like, man, this summer gonna be crazy. And I know Drake, you know, he said he wasn't putting out no more music, and he's like basically in his downtime, and you know, he wanted to take a break. But I don't know, man. Like, and he's gonna be on tour and everything too. So it's just it's a crazy time. And like Kendrick, you got all this momentum behind you. I know we said it was gonna be a couple more people. Schoolboy Q just put out his album. Like, does Kendrick come out with another album in back-to-back? We haven't heard that. Like, he's never done that in back-to-back years.
Yeah, I was about to say, Kendrick has taken, dare I say, the kind of Nas early on approach of putting out albums and with 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 year hiatuses. So, if Drake did come out with something, that would be unprecedented.
And I actually would like that from Kendrick. I kind of don't like, and we talked about this too, and Big Sean's done this as well. That's one of my main gripes And this is why I don't consider those guys to be, like, better than Drake. And I know we talked about that, too. I know how you feel about Drake. But J. Cole, Big Sean, and Kendrick, you guys disappear. And Drake is, like, he's there all the time. He's always there.
Yeah. I'm going to remain quiet on this one because, like you said, if you listen to this podcast, you know how I feel about Drake and Drake's album. So,
yeah, like I just hope that these guys understand. And like Kendrick, I know he's offended, and we know Kendrick's offended. Of course, he came out and he was spitting flames, but he has to realize, like, the reason why Drake is held at such a high regard is because he doesn't miss. That's why he's the boy. He doesn't miss, man. Like, if he does miss, he still have a couple of hot singles on that album that'll just still take over your whole summer.
He definitely misses on his albums.
Well, you don't like the order. You don't like the order. We both agreed on sometimes the order can be a little weird, but I mean, most likely, like, his albums are really good. Like, the singles, they resonate and they stay with you for a long time. And it's easy listening music, too. Like, I know Kendrick Lamar is more like Black Power, Black Love, Positivity, but coming at you at, like, a harder point of view, you know. Drake is, like, feel-good, fun music. You know, he's going to talk his shit. He's going to probably talk about some exes or something or some stuff that happened in his past, but it's kind of easy listening, you know.
We'll see. I think part of the reason why, I mean, you did have J. Cole on First Person Shooter declare himself the Muhammad Ali of the Big Three, so that could also be it. Who
knows? I mean, how do you feel about the big? Is this our Big Three? Is it, Ronnie, we had a whole thing where we discussed these guys.
Yeah, so I mean, I still feel like they still are the Big Three, because I feel like at different points they've all had their shine, they reign, right? Drake maybe more so than Kendrick, but. Mad Kid, right? The kind of Kendrick's reign, even a Pimpin' Butterfly somewhere in there. J. Cole, Forest Hill Drive, right? That album, I think, is still on the Billboard 200. And then you had Drake from Take Care to View to. So I feel like at different points, each member of the Big Three has had their reign, their shine on top. And hell, right now, I think this is like the pinnacle, right? Kendrick, his album was hot, still dropping fire on guest verses. J. Cole is getting ready for the fall off. Every verse J. Cole has been on in the last, year has been hot. Now you got Jake and Drake Cole on tour. Who would have thought we would ever see that? So I think right now all three are like in rare form. So it's going to be some conflict at the top.
Exactly. And like that's what people don't realize. Like it's going to definitely be some conflict. Guys are going to definitely be competitive. They're going to come and put out their competitive spirit as they should. I mean, it's hip-hop. Hip-hop has always had, like, battle rapping and everything of that nature. And these guys claim to be the Big Three, so bring it.
Yeah, now I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Is this the year the Big Three becomes the Big Four again? Is there a chance that Big Sean and his new album, does he stand a chance to enter back into that conversation?
Oh man, was Big Sean was in that conversation, but so many different people done came in. Like, do you think Big Sean's been surpassed? I mean,
oh, yeah, he's definitely been surpassed by some
people. Yeah, because I was gonna say, like, I would even throw Future in there. Like, I think Future surpassed him. It's a couple other artists too. I mean, this hiatus, I know he had a baby and everything, and I understand. But this long hiatus has kind of killed him too. Like this album that he comes out with gotta be like fucking spot on, like classic material. If not, like it's just he's gonna regress, man. And he's gonna be forgotten, just like people forgot about this single that he put out. It's a good single, but I mean it just got overshadowed.
Yeah. You know what? Because I woke up, I saw, you know, Big Sean had dropped a single, right?
Uh-huh.
I saw the Joyner Lucas, and then I saw the Metro Boomin Future album. So I'm like, okay, let me listen to Big Sean, because we've been waiting for him to drop something. So as I'm listening to the Big Sean album, I'm on X or Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it. And, you know, people was talking about this damn Kendrick verse on the Metro Boomin Future album. So I'm like, the hell with Big Sean song? Like, I'll go back to it later. Like,
and that's the thing. Like, it just made you just instantly forget about it. You were just like, fuck this. And I felt bad too. I was just like, man,
I feel super bad about it. But it was like, I could listen to this single another time. Like,
yeah, that's what I was like. I don't care about it no more. Like, see you later.
Like you said, it's a good single. But I mean, I feel bad for him and Joyner Lucas. They picked the wrong time to drop something new.
Yeah, and that's what I was like, man, it just. It's
kind of
crazy.
I have yet to even get around to the Joyner Lucas album at this point.
Me either. I'm like, man, I done listened to Future so much. Then, you know, it's crazy. Everywhere you go, everybody want to talk about it too. Because that's the talk of the town. And that's what I was telling one of my friends. Like, I'm like, bro, nobody wants to listen to Big Sean right now. I'm like, that's sad. Soon as I think I put on Big Sean's single, while Big Sean's single was playing, we was talking about Future and Kendrick. Like, I tried to gravitate to something else different. I was like, man, Big Sean put out some heat. They like, man, play that one more time, that Future. I'm like, damn. Like, that's how bad it is.
Yeah, nobody's like, I literally feel bad, like, because I want this next Big Sean album to be great. Like, I want it to be a classic. Like, and I feel like it's got potential there. Like, the singles he's had put out has been good. It's just in bad timing. I super feel bad for Joyner Lucas because he got a whole album, and that's the brother I like. And we going on damn near a week now, and I ain't got around to it.
Yeah, and that's that's crazy. And Joyner Lucas, he always put out some heat too.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we ain't even listened to that one either, man. And there was a couple other albums too, and it's just like it got overshadowed. Like, this is just a bad week. And I'm like, damn, if Big Sean could have picked any other week to come out with something else, did he not know that Future and Metro Boomin was coming out? Like, stay away.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it almost gives me, you know, how when I would drop something, Jay-Z would drop something, it almost gives me one of those type vibes. Like,
yeah, I was just like, bruh, like, just stay away from that shit, man. You could have waited, man. Gave us like,
yeah, I'm like, at this point, you might want to have pushed it back a week, buddy, or maybe even 2 weeks. I don't know. Damn, Big Sean.
Yeah, duh, and that's what I'm like, man. Big Sean, man, he trying, bro. He trying, and I thought this single, like I said, was pretty dope.
Yeah, he even had the thing on social media where he was rapping over the Jay Dilla beast that was fire. So, damn, Big Sean.
That's what I'm like, man.
The Kendrick verse didn't cause so much. It didn't overshadow the NCAA tournament, though, in some ways.
That's the thing, too, man. Like, with Kendrick, too, with this momentum, like, we just was talking about Kendrick momentum, too. Like, I bet you this will probably continue to overshadow, because watch when Big Sean comes. How long will this linger? Because now you're waiting on J. Cole and Drake to respond.
So,
Big Sean got to come out with an album. This shit can linger for months.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I guess it depends on when and how J. Cole or Drake responds, or hell, even in that case, like, do you get another, like, Kendrick or Future response, right? Because you got, so I feel like it's several sides, and I guess that's what's so fascinating about this beef, right? It's several sides to it. Like, you got Kendrick versus J. Cole and Drake. Then you got the whole Future and Drake beef. You also got a Kendrick and just Drake one-on-one beef. And hell, that's why I said, like, I kind of feel like J. Cole is the he the wild card, because in the grand scheme of things, J. Cole pretty much his whole career has just been beef free, minus, you know, a few skates here and there with No Name, and then what's the dude that he had the 1985 verse for. But other than that, you know, J. Cole, he kind of, I don't want to say he's new to the beef, but this is his first big beef. So it'll be interesting to see how he addresses it.
But no, I was going to say, man, like, for J. Cole, he really, like you said, he really has a step up on this one. This is his first major beef. Hopefully he come out swinging. His verse got to be better than Drake's verse, too, because we done heard Drake in beefs, and Drake done put people to sleep plenty of times, and he always got some crafty shit to say. We really never heard J. Cole in a beef. You know that?
Yeah, that's like, who was a little pump he had the 1985 verse with, but I won't call that a beef. And hell, I don't even think he Lil Pump responded. I think Cordier responded, if I remember correctly, on that song "Old Niggas." So,
yeah, I just think that we got a hell of a showdown on our hands, Rodney. Like, this is gonna be this is gonna be classic. J. Cole
got two mentors that he can turn to.
I hope this time I hope he don't let Nas down.
Yeah, I'll say he can call Nas or he can call Jay-Z, whichever.
Now, like we were just saying, Rodney, why the hell these guys ain't beef when Big Sean was having that baby, man, and was in hiatus? Soon as he step outside, these motherfuckers want to get into it.
Yeah, man. Look, Big Sean opened the door like, I'm back, and everybody like, ain't nobody checking for you right now. Go back in.
Right. Go ahead and go back in the inside, bro. That's crazy, man.
Try again next year. That's
No, you know what? I think Big Sean gonna be all right. It just, he has the, I'll tell you what, if I'm Big Sean, if he listens to this, if I'm Big Sean, somebody that he talks to listen to this, if I'm Big Sean, fuck it, let's call some names. Fuck the subliminal.
Yeah, I was about to say, and I feel like Big Sean can use this to his advantage. Like, he can start calling out somebody too. Hell, let's just add another person to the beef at this point.
Right, because he kind of mentioned it, but he mentioned it in a subtle way, and everybody just brushed it off like, oh, okay, he said
it. Yeah, kind of just glanced over it, so.
Yeah, like, no, you got to come harder than that and talk shit.
Let's put all the cards on the table at this point.
Exactly. And I know you a family, man. Let them boys know, like, look, this is rap.
Yeah, if I'm Big Sean, I ain't got nothing to lose anyway. Yeah, I'm here for it, though. Very unexpected, but here for it.
Exactly. That's why I said I'm here for it, too. I know it is unexpected, but I think we're going to be all right with hip-hop right now, man. It's moving in a good direction. I know this is the next big thing we got to talk about. Of course, our Michigan Wolverines, man. How do you feel about this hire? And then I'll let you know how I feel.
So, when they let Juwan Howard go, I felt like it had to be a slam dunk hire, right?
Right.
You let an all-time great Michigan man go. I mean, the season didn't go as he planned into hell. It didn't. I would say the last two seasons, but this season is and especially. But then you look at the tournament. Taryn Shannon, leading scorer for Illinois, was committed to Michigan. Was transferring to Michigan at one point, right? Then you flip to another game. Arizona, leading scorer Kayla Love, at one point in the summer, was a strong Michigan commit. And what held them up? Admissions. So, same thing. You have to wonder if Michigan is stronger in an NIL game. Does Hunter Dickinson transfer? Probably not. So, I mean, I get the whole Jalen Rose tweet that he just put out there about the whole situation. If you would have told me Juwan Howard get fired March 15th and by March 24th, Michigan has a new coach, highly sought after at that, probably wouldn't have believed you. I thought it was a hire that Ward Manuel was going to swing and miss. I don't think at this point, short of getting John Calipari or Beeline to come back, that they could have did any better. This kind of feels like a John Beeline type hire in Dusty May, right? He feels like he's a younger version of John Beeline when Beeline came to Michigan from West Virginia, kind of sight unseen. So it's kind of what it reminds me of. I'm trying to reserve judgment. Give me a month, see what the roster looks like, because I think it's only four scholarship players on the roster right now. I think that was going to be the case of keeping Juwan, is to keep roster continuity, to see, give him a year, to see what could happen. Also,
right,
wondering if they're going to change some admissions policy, possibly. I'm hearing that from Michigan. If that's the case, why couldn't that have happened last year for Juwan? And because I do feel like if Caleb Love and Taryn Shannon is on the roster, right, along with Hunter Dickerson, because it seems like Sharon Moore in Michigan football is getting an NIL deal together, and it seems like Ward has promised Dusty May the same thing on the basketball front. Why weren't those same things supported to Juwan Howard? Just my thought. Oh, and I heard that there was some pressure from that Ward really wanted to keep Juwan, but it was pressure from the president and the Board of Regents on Ward Manuel to move on from Juwan Howard. So there's that too.
Right. And okay, so my whole, and I agree with what you said about Juwan Howard too. I don't like this hire. I think that Michigan standards, now don't get me wrong, this guy is one where he was at, but the standards were totally different. This is University of Michigan. So the standards are like really, really, the bar is set high. This is like an Oakland University goes to the, they're playing in a weaker conference, okay? So if you're the cream of the crop in your conference and you make it to the playoffs, and you, sometimes if basketball-wise, I feel like it's good for those smaller schools if you're dominating, if you're Oakland University or if a Florida Atlantic, or if you're playing in like a, in one of those MAC conferences or something like that, that's good for you. Because if you went out in that conference, you go to the thing, you could be a Cinderella. You can be really good. And you're in Florida, too, so it's a lot of basketball, a lot of sports going on 24/7, 365, to where, and you're going inside of a gym and you're playing ball. So two totally different things. You don't have to battle the Ohio States. You don't have to battle the USC's, the Oregon's, the Washington's, the Michigan State's, the time. You don't have to battle famous coaches every time. It's a hell of a lineup every night. Now this man comes to the Big Ten. You're supposed to take players away from Tom Izzo and from Ohio State, from all these other Northwestern's came out of nowhere. Illinois is always going to be good. You got all these different coaches, man. And this is the hire that you guys decided to go with. Who is this man recruiting here?
So, and I think that's why I said this feels very John Beilein is in the hire, right? When John Beilein was hired from West Virginia, we didn't know how his 1-3-1 system was going to work in the Big Ten. He had never really recruited on a big stage. So there is a lot of, like, I know Dusty May was highly sought after. And hell, if you had read the report Saturday, it was a done deal with him going to Louisville. But it, like I said, it gives me essence of thinking back when John Beilein was hired. You're like, how the hell is this West Virginia coach going to work here at Michigan? I'm curious to see what staff he puts around him. If anybody on Juwan's staff stays. Shout out to Juwan Howard, too. I don't know if you saw it, but he did go to the Michigan women's game in California. I was shocked to see him there because things ended so bad here. So happy to see that. But like you said, this, I know Dusty May is he's one where he's been at, but hell, this will be the first time he's on a big stage. So it'll be interesting to see. Like you said, in a month, one, what his coaching staff looks like, two, what the strength and conditioning staff looks like, and then three, what players come with him and who he's able to recruit.
And Ronnie, you're right about that. I just feel like the recruiting trail is going to be really, really rough. I wish we would have really thought about that, but maybe they, I don't know. I wonder who he's going to hire on his staff. That's the thing. If he can get some staff that's really good at recruiting and bringing in some players, because I thought that we had a good thing going with Juwan Howard. I know he had a couple of setbacks. Like you said, the NIL, you had people transferring. You had a couple players that were with Michigan and they didn't want to mess up their career or legacy, and they decided to not forego the last games of the season, his son being one of them. So that took us out of the last playoff spot that we could have got. We could have played in a play-in and went to the NCAA tournament, but those guys decided not to play. We wound up going to the NIT. So, I mean, it's a lot of variables that go into that, man. I think Juwan Howard got a bad deal. I know this is one of the most craziest losing records that we had. I just thought they should have gave him another year. And then you bring this man in. We hope that he can be great. We're praying that he can be great. But I don't think he's going to get recruits. In Michigan State, right? Well, you know what you're going to get in Michigan State.
Well, he's got.
You're going to get Tom Izzo.
I think he's got two early tests, right?
Right.
One, I want to see. I can't think of the kid's name, but the kid that won Mr. Basketball for the state of Michigan is committed to Michigan right now. And he said he was waiting to see what the hire was going to be before he made a decision on whether staying committed. So. One, if he can win that recruiting battle, that would be a good sign. And there's a kid from IMG in Florida that was top 30 kid that was committed to Michigan, decommitted, but still said he's willing to look at Michigan depending on the hire. If he can win both those battles, I'll feel a little bit better. I would like to see him either keep Isley or side of Washington from Juwan's staff. Feel like both of those are even both good recruits. Even if he doesn't keep one of those two, Phil Martelli, because I feel like Phil Martelli has always done a good job as when Juwan was out filling in for him, and I feel like he's a good recruiter and a good face for the program too. So those are two early move that I think will tell a lot about where the Michigan program is headed. I'm going to try to reserve judgment because I killed the John Beilein hire when he was first hired, and that turned out pretty well. And hearing that John Beilein actually John Beilein is in Florida right now. I guess he's one of those snowbirds that goes to Florida in the winter. And he drove over for the meeting with Ward Manuel and Dusty May. That makes me feel a little bit better about the hire. But if Michigan doesn't get its act together when it comes to NIL and admissions, I don't care who you hire as coaches. They'll all face the same problems that Juwan faced.
Exactly, and that's our major issue right there. It's hard to compete with a lot of these teams, especially like a Kansas. Like I said, Dickinson left us for Kansas. They don't have an NBA. I mean, Kansas has always been a major player, though.
I'm partially laughing because, you know, Kansas is – where they watching this, the tournament at now? From home, so.
No, I get it, too. They had a lot of key injuries, too. But don't you notice, like, Kansas and, like, Bama are always, like, major players in everything that you can think of as far as, like, sport? I think they pay people. I know, that's crazy. I don't want to accuse them for that.
Well, we know Bell Self in Kansas paid people, right? He's on wiretap right. People before yeah, NIL right. was a thing. But I don't even think Michigan needs to recruit at a Kansas, Alabama level, right? If we can sustain the recruiting that was done during the Beilein area, where you go after kids in the 1 to 200 range and you build them up, it'll be interesting. Player development is going to be key. Beilein was good at getting the players in that like that 100 to 150 range, and then sprinkle in maybe 1 or 2 5-star recruits here and there. And that's going to be. That's, you know, the thing Dusty May is going to have to do. The one thing I will always give John Beilein credit for is he was able to identify star players that weren't necessarily stars in high school. Trey Burke was a 3-star recruit. Tim Hardaway, I know he ended up being a 5-star recruit, but when he first committed to Michigan, he was like a 3-star recruit. Same thing with Glenn Robinson III, right?
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see. Even I know Hunter Dickens had committed to Juwan, but he started being recruited by John Beilein. So,
and that's the thing too, man. Like, I just hope that this guy's name, because right now what we're doing is we're basing it off of Michigan. Like, hey, this is Michigan. You're gonna come here because of Michigan, and I thought that that's cool. I think that's cool. Don't get me wrong. That's cool. I love that. You're going to come here because Michigan. But when you throw those names behind, when you throw the Harbaughs behind it, when you throw the Juwan Howards behind it, when you throw big names behind those guys, I think that really plays a major part, too. I think that really helps out, too. So, like, I like seeing Uber Davis and some of those other guys, like Coach Calipari. College basketball, college sports in general, is always was like based on the coach. The coach is like the face of the team.
So,
because players come and go.
Let me ask you.
We don't know nothing about this guy.
And then we can talk about the NCAA tournament. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Short of John Beilein, who would have been a home run hire for Michigan? Because I would have been happy if they went and knocked on John Beilein's door and been like, you know, what does it take you to get you to come back?
And that's what I thought that they were going to do. I thought that would have been awesome to bring Beilein back. I thought he had a good game plan. But I think that he's in like somebody's office or something now, right?
He was in it. I don't know if he's still with the Detroit Pistons. He was an advisor to the Pistons. I'm not sure. From what I heard, Ward Emanuel called to gauge his interest, and Beilein was non-committal on whether he would want to come back and coach, and that's when Ward asked him to be part of, I guess, the advisory board to advise my next coach. And then from what I'm hearing, when Ward Manuel flew to Florida to sit down with Dusty May to offer him the job, B-Line met May and Manuel there and stayed for, I guess, an hour or so to discuss different aspects of the program and stuff. So
I know this sounds crazy, but I know that they picked a fine time to come back together. I think that Jalen Rose and Chris Webber should have helped those guys, should have helped Juwan Howard and the rest of the guys recruit people. I know they just wind up coming together, but they should have sold Michigan on that. Maybe that's just me. I think they should have said, hey, we can help Juwan Howard bring in some young kids. Hire us as advisors, like bring us back to the university.
So I do think it would have helped if, like, you get Chris Webber to come in as an assistant coach. Hell, he wasn't working for TNT anymore. Get him to come in as an assistant coach. Young people still know who he is. Hell, if they don't know him from his playing day, they know him from TNT. So we can sit up here and quarterback things Juwan should have did differently. It's always hard to see a legend go out the way Juwan did. No, he'll bounce back. He'll probably be on. If I'm him, I'm taking a year off and then probably going back to the NBA, whether it's an assistant or, you know, something like that. I just feel bad for the way that things went down, because it seemed like just reading early things of what's going on now with Dusty May, that Dusty May is going to get NIL help and get admission help that Juwan didn't get. So
I know, and that's heartbreaking, man. Like I said, I thought that Juwan Howard deserved to at least have another year, another chance, another year. I think that just sucks. I'm really disappointed. I'm a huge Michigan fan. I'm gonna always forever be a Michigan fan. I just thought that wasn't a good move. It wasn't a good look. And I think that Tom Izzo always has like down years too. They still do happen to make it to the playoffs, but I thought this was a bad couple years.
Can we talk about Izzo?
Oh, yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Izzo, if I'm Michigan State, you're kind of stuck in no man's land, right? You're not good enough to make the Elite Eight or the Final Fours, right? But you're not bad enough where, like, you're making a tournament still. You're kind of stuck in neutral.
Right. So,
I know Tom Izzo is getting there up in age, but can he still win the way he's used to winning? Coach K has retired. Roy Williams has retired, right? A lot of the old guard, if you want to call them that, when Tom Izzo first started coaching, is gone. Boeheim and Syracuse retired. So, how long do you think Tom Izzo hangs on at State?
Oh, I think he enjoys the job, and I think the kids love having him there too, man. He doesn't show any signs of being over it or over the hill. I think he gets some decent recruits. I think he still can coach those kids up. They're still motivated by him. He's going to lose a couple people that weren't really that great, but he made them great in that system. Cause that the Hogarth kid, he's not really good, man. He's not really good.
There are three programs to me that are stuck in neutral. Michigan State, me and one. I know you're gonna hate these next two. Your Kansas Jayhawks, and the coach with the biggest buyout in the game, your Kentucky Wildcats.
No, I'm not. Okay, I'm gonna tell you why those programs aren't stuck in neutral. Sometimes you got programs that go through phases. When the last time, Rodney, let's be honest. When the last time have Purdue and Northwestern been good in the Big Ten?
Oh, but Purdue and Northwestern are so forever stuck in neutral.
Purdue, yeah, but now they're amazing though.
Well, Purdue has always been good, right? Purdue just normally can't get it done at tournament time. And then you have Collins down at Northwestern doing an amazing job. He's always a coach. I felt like Michigan should have looked at, even in the latest coaching search, if he was available. I would have loved to seen him go after Collins and brought him here to Ann Arbor. That would have been short of.
Yeah, that would have been dope. That would have been dope. I would have liked that too.
Yeah, short of B-line coming back, that would have been a home run hire. I would have had liked to see.
Yeah, I thought that's what they should. I thought they should have like at least tried to pry a couple of coaches from different places, man. I thought it would be a big time splashing hire, but no, I don't think that those programs are in purgatory. I don't think they're like they're not at a standstill with Kentucky.
Let me give you some programs. Okay. And you can tell me who you would rather play for if they came knocking on your door right now.
Right.
Gonzaga.
Yeah, I'll play for them for sure.
UConn.
Oh yeah, I'll play for UConn. Yeah.
North Carolina.
Yeah, I'll play for North Carolina. Because they're gonna get the shine. They're going to get all the shine. That's the thing with those programs you just named right now. Well, Gonzaga guys are going to stay longer. But those last two programs you just named.
And I think they've surpassed Kansas, Kentucky, right? Michigan State in the pecking order. Hell, I'm in some ways, Calvin Sampson down at the University of Houston has surpassed them.
See, I wouldn't say that about Calvin Sampson at University of Houston. They've been good since Sampson got there. They've been pretty decent. I just think that it's just those programs' time now. Sometimes you get a good group of kids. You get a good group of kids, and they're doing really good. They're doing really well. And something just like with the Edie kid that's in Purdue. Purdue's always been decent, like you said, but this guy put them over the top where they're like, yeah, it just you get a good group of kids. And Tom Izzo doesn't have that great group of kids at this time. I feel like,
and Tom Izzo is my Drake of college basketball, right?
Right.
I feel like Tom Izzo is overrated. Been living off the championship in 2000 for 24 years now.
But really, come on, do you think so? I think that with these programs like North Carolina's and Duke's and Michigan State's,
here's my statement. I'll stick to it.
Uh-huh.
John Beilein's a better coach than Tom Izzo and John Calipari.
You think so?
Yes.
No. Look, I'll put it to you like this. Did you just see that game right with Oakland, and they just beat they just beat John Calipari and those guys down there, right? Now, The reason why they won that game is because Campy had guys that were more – they were basically like veterans on that team. You got like 20-year-olds. You got guys – one of the guys came from Rocket Watts, played for Michigan State for, what, 2 or 3 years? Then you had the one dude that he played college ball at different places, but he was 24 years old. They were going against 18-year-olds. Duke, Michigan State, they're going to always have young guys. Zach Randolph bolted on them. Miles Bridges bolted on them. Jason Richardson bolted on them. All these guys are leaving, and they're playing 1 or 2 years, and they're going to the NBA. And that's always leaving these programs to look for the next best thing. But sometimes those group of kids that you bring in there, they're not good groups of kids. And you have to deal with them for 4 years. And you realize, like, hey, these guys are not as good as I thought that they would be. And they would probably move on to the next step. But they're going to be here for 4 years. And now you're stuck with them. So that Hogarth kid, you're stuck with them. Some of the other guys that, like Campy got, like he's stuck with those guys. So those are They're there for the long run, and most of them not going to make it to the NBA. But that Rod Dillingham kid, he's going to probably play one more year, and then he's gone. And now you're going to be looking for another person. So those programs just got – they're fly-by-night talents. You're going to have great stars come out of those programs. And Michigan State and Tom Izzo are going to get right back to that, where they're going to get good kids that are going to be amazing for those 2 years, and then they're going to move on.
I'm still sticking to my statement. John B. Lyon is a better coach than Tom Izzo and John Calipari. And I don't think it's close.
You don't think it's close, Rodney, at all?
No.
Wow. That's crazy. It just Beilein had like guys that like I love Hunter Dickinson. He's not gonna probably be anything when he goes to the NBA.
So I understand that, but I'm just strictly player development and who was able to get the most with the least, right?
Right.
So, in hell, with Beilein and Izzo, we got head-to-head matchup that show Beilein outcoached Tom Izzo most games that they were head-to-head against each other.
Yeah, but Beilein had a great group of kids, too, man, that, like, for some reason, like, a lot of those kids wanted to come and play. You had once he brung in like Tim Hardaway Jr. and some of those other kids, man. I thought that's when we really was like on point with it, man. We had that one class that just was fucking amazing, and like Tom Izzo couldn't overcome that. He always had his kids too, and they were okay, but the classes that Michigan had, they were special, man. But I wish those guys would have just stayed. Because now when you look at, where is Trey Burke at now? You know what I mean? Where are all these guys at now that we had, that were Glenn Robinson III? All those guys, if they would have just stayed an extra two, I think some of them were like 1 year, 2 years. If you would have stayed 3 years, they would have won national championships, Rodney. And you know this. It's just that when you go to, you foresee your future and you want to go to the NBA, you hurt yourself. And it wasn't only them, too. It was a couple other players, too, that we had, and I thought they were fucking dope. I forgot the one guy. I forgot his name.
Stockius is the one.
Yeah, it was Stockius, too. Wagner, Mo and Franz. It was a couple guys. I just thought that they should have stayed longer, but I mean, I understand guys getting the bag because Franz got the bag. So I get it. Yeah, but if those guys stay one more year, like how do you persuade people to stay one more year? That's why I really love Blake Corum. Because Blake could have went to the NBA. We know he could have went to the NBA. But he said, you know what, I'm going to stay one more year, I'm going to win this national championship. And a lot of guys, Edwards too, Edwards said, I'm going to stay this year. Edwards could have went to the NBA and got drafted, Rodney. He would have been drafted in, what, the fifth or sixth round, maybe? Edwards, but he said, I'm going to stay one more year and try to get another national championship. That's tough. And it's just NBA players don't look at it like that. I think that's why it's overcrowded too in the NBA, and that's why you got to get the G League and all this stuff going. Because these guys leave too fast.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. So, we got like 5 minutes left. We got 16 teams left. Who you got out of 16 teams remaining? And I think it's only one correct answer to this question.
I know we didn't talk about the women's. But for the women's side, man, I think this year, I think Clark and them going to get it this year.
Oh, you do? I don't.
You don't think so? Because Angel Reese and them, man, they showed me, like, their weakness. Like, I don't know if she was just tired or – but that team just showed me they was weak. I really like Iowa State, but I know Iowa State just lost to a good Stanford team. I think
there are three teams that I put above Iowa at this moment.
Okay.
And I'll go 3-1. Three, UConn. If they can, if it pays, Baker stays healthy and they play and Aaliyah Edwards plays like she's been playing, they have a chance. I know they only are 3 seed this year, which is unusual for UConn, but they have something brewing there. Secondly, Juju Watson and USC, dangerous team.
Yeah, I like Juju and them too. They ball out.
And then the first, the best coach team in all of America. With, I feel like, regardless, men or women, the best coach in America, Don Staley in South Carolina. This is supposed to be a rebuilding year, and they're still the number one overall seed. So, put those three teams ahead of Iowa, and don't sleep on Notre Dame.
Yeah, no, I agree with some of those, man. But it just feel like, well, against all odds, man. I felt the same way you felt, right? And I said, you know what? I'm gonna put Clark on the back burner, because I'm like, you know what? I thought Michigan was good. I thought Michigan State. I thought the Big Ten women's division this year was really good. Like, I thought that we had some tough teams. Ohio State was good. Maryland. Like, we had some damn good teams, but Clark and them, like, were fucking above the rest, man. And, like, I thought that they just were head and shoulders. Even when teams tried to stop her at all means necessary, like, she's just got unlimited range. She can drive to the hoop. The players around her are better than they were last year. So I think that they can step up and actually take it this year. I think they're shooting a better percentage out of everybody else that's they're not your traditional women's team where women go to the hoop and they're back to the basket, or they're knocking down trays at like a crazy like clip, high clip. So I think they can I think they can sustain that and lead it to a championship, Rodney.
I think UConn, dare I say, could do what they did in 2014, win a national championship on the men's side and women's side.
Oh wow, that's crazy. No, I don't know, man. The men's is so up in the air, man. It's just too up in the air for me, man. You don't know what the hell you're gonna get.
I don't know. You kind of, I think they have won what 8 games in a row by double digits in the tournament. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
I think what the men's game is missing, and what I'm seeing right now too, which is pretty good. I like the guy that young Zach Randolph looking kid out of North Carolina.
Yeah.
And Eden. And we had the one young lady too for the Cyclones, man. We missing a back to the basket game, man. I just literally watched Houston yesterday. They damn near blew that game. Why? I don't understand why these kids, man, even when you up by 13, 14 points, they're not even trying to go to the hoop for easy layups. It'll be a 3-on-1 fast break. They pulling up for three. Like, I don't get it. And that's why the men's game is so up in the air.
Steph Curry effect.
That's definitely the Steph Curry effect. And it helped Oakland, too. Don't get me wrong. My man, he had 20 shots, Rodney. All of them were three-point shots. He didn't even try two. All of them were three-point shots, Rodney. He hit 10 of them. Don't get me wrong. I see where the game is going, but that's why I said the men's game is up in the air. It depends on who's hot. And nobody's like really, and they're playing this 2-1-2 defense or a 3-2-1, like all types of crazy zone defenses in college. And guys are shooting 3-pointers. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. You can't even close out on guys on time. So now you're giving them 3-point open looks for 3-point shots. So it just depends on who can hit them in the game. That's what it's depending on right now. That's why it's a lot of upsets.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, if I had to pick right now, UConn looks the best on the men's side. South Carolina Hell, that South Carolina North Carolina game yesterday was over and by the end of the first quarter. So,
man, a lot of those women games was like over with. I was trying to watch some of them, and they were just like blowouts. I was like, damn. Men's game were pretty decent.
Yeah, we got some good men's side games. You had a couple double overtime games. Overtime game, Texas A&M, like you said, made the Houston game close at the end. We've had some blowouts, though, too. San Diego State, hell, Gonzaga over Kansas.
Yeah, they gave him a wash and rinse. I thought Kansas was going to be more competitive than that. Michigan State got blew out.
Yeah,
but I figured they couldn't hang with them.
And it's like North Carolina put their foot down on the neck and killed them. So
yeah, they weren't suited for that matchup anyway. That's what Tom Izzo said. We'll be better next year. It's good to get a whole bunch of young kids in there, and then the other kids move on. You said, will they? I think they'll be better, man. They'll be way better next year, man. And Tom Izzo, that's the same thing Juwan Howard was doing too. He would get these guys from different universities and have them come in. If they were to forgo their senior season, or if a person redshirted, he'd have them come in.
I will say, Tom Izzo did channel his Jim Harbaugh, right, saying he was going to get them deeper in the tournament or die trying. I believe that's the same thing that Jim Harbaugh said at Big Ten Media Day 3 years ago, but they were going to beat Ohio State or die trying. So I just don't see it. Like I said, Tom Izzo is the Drake for me of college basketball. So,
you know what? I believe that Tom Izzo, especially right now with this Michigan hire, Michigan, and when you bring in a new coach, Michigan isn't going to be good for the next probably couple years. They probably be a little whipping. Get their whippings.
So I'm gonna go out on a limb, and this will be published. Michigan is gonna make the NCAA tournament next year.
What? Get out of here. I don't even believe that. I don't believe that. I think next year, this is what I believe next year is going to happen. I think Purdue is going to regress because, of course, Edie and some of those other guys are going to move on. So Purdue is going to go back to being Purdue. But that young Northwestern team, they're going to win the Big Ten tournament. I really like Illinois, too. Illinois is your Big Ten champ. Oh, wait a minute, Illinois, I think it was Wisconsin. I'm sorry, Wisconsin, your Big Ten champ. Wisconsin got a good young team. Rutgers is coming along. You got a lot of good teams. I don't think Michigan can sustain that. Ohio State's good, too. Then also you bringing in those other guys, too. So you forgot about Oregon and USC and all them. They coming, too. They coming, Rodney.
I'm standing by what I just said.
Yo, that's a hell of a... Okay, well,
when it's all said,
I want it to happen because I think Michigan has it.
I do feel like Dusty may will be bringing a couple of his guys from Florida Atlantic with him, but I also do feel like he'll get to deal now with at least one of the two players I mentioned earlier, and then we'll go from there.
Now, Rodney, I can see if he was coming from Duke or North Carolina or something. He coming from somewhere else that – come on, man. No, that's not going to help us. The Big Ten is where the big boys play. The Big Ten, the SEC is where the big boys play, man. I don't know if that's going to help us in our fight.
Well, he done got off the sandbox and got in, so let's see what happens. But that's my prediction.
I like your prediction. Hopefully it happens too. Like I said, I'm a Michigan guy, so hopefully it happens. I'll
give you a record prediction.
Okay.
21-10.
What? Dreamers can dream, Rodney. I would tell you what, I think Sharon Moore would do a better job with the football team. I think the football team will make it back to the playoffs.
I feel like both teams make it. So
I think that'll happen more than the basketball team. I think it's going to be some growing pains in this first season. He's going to have to figure some things out. Because Big Ten is like totally different. Defense is different. Very, very different. Every game is a fight. So,
yeah. Yeah, we'll see. That's my prediction. Bro. And on that note, keep tuning in to see which one of us is right.
I know. Hopefully, I hope Rodney's right more than I'm right. So.
Mm-hmm. And let's see if the Tom Izzo and Michigan State Spartans can do what he said, not trying to get back to making a long run in the tournament.
That's right.
So we'll catch y'all on the B-side.
Peace.